Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Man, awesome worship, Metallica, stupid people doing stupid things. Life doesn't get a whole lot better than the last few minutes right here. I did an internship years ago when I was first started out in ministry. A huge church in Louisville, Kentucky. They had like 10,000 then, 25,000 people today. And every year they take their youth group on a spring break trip that they call Bible and Beach to Destin, Florida. And so they do kind of Bible seminars in the morning and worship at night. And in the afternoon, though, is like free time. You can do whatever you want. One year, they decided to rent out a fishing boat, and whatever students want to, they can go out deep sea fishing. And it turns out 150 of the 400 students signed up to go deep sea fishing. So they all get on this big boat, and there's a place in the front of the boat with benches where all the students could sit and wait till they got out to sea. And so they take off, and the captain goes up to one of the youth pastors named Jim, and he says, "Hey, we don't have enough fishing poles." Jim says, "Well, that's a problem. We're here to fish." He says, "Well, it's not a problem. We actually have another boat out at sea, and they didn't have nearly as many people. They've got a bunch of extra poles, so we're going to go meet them and get their poles, and then we'll go out." And Jim says, "Okay." And so they go out, and finally they get to this other boat, and all the students are watching, and they see the captain of the other boat walking over with his arms full of poles, and their captain goes walking over, and he reaches out to get the poles. Right when he did, this rogue wave hit, and the other boat kind of went up, and their boat went down, and his arm kind of got lodged between the two boats, and it cut his arm off. It didn't cut his arm, it cut his arm off. And all the kids are watching this, you know, these little Christian kids from Louisville, Kentucky, and they all just start screaming and throwing up, and they're all going crazy. And they look to their two youth pastors, and one of them goes and just passes out. But Jim is still awake, and so Jim says, "It's only a flesh wound." No, he's like saying, he's like, "It's okay, it's okay." And so finally they fish the arm out of the ocean and they put it on ice and they're all going back and kids are crying and screaming. And finally they go back at the end of the week to Louisville, Kentucky, and their parents say, "How was your trip? Did you learn about Jesus?" And all the kids are like, "Man, well, we watched a guy get his arm cut off, and it was horrible." That was the girls. "It was awesome." That was the guys, right? And so there are a bunch of kids in Kentucky whose spring break was supposed to be about Jesus, but it was horrible. And many of them said, "I will never go do that again." And it had nothing to do with Jesus. It just felt like it did. And there are a lot of people who don't go to church. And you know, maybe they used to go a lot, or maybe they went once or twice. But something happened, and they decided, "I am never going again." And what happened may have been horrible, but it had nothing to do with Jesus. It just felt like it did. Today we're starting a new series called I've Been Burned. And we're going to talk about being or feeling burned by God and Christians and the church. And maybe some of you have been burned. And it's kept you away from maybe God or Christians and the church. There are a lot of people who feel this way. Maybe you feel this way. Maybe you had an experience that made you say, "You know what? I don't need that anymore." And you've stayed away for a long time. In fact, maybe you're here this morning kind of pulling in Adele. "Hello, it's me. I've been wondering if after all these years you would like to meet." I can't sing. But it's true, you know, they say time heals you, but you have not experienced much healing, and you're saying hello today from the outside. You definitely don't want to hear me sing that part. And that's a problem, that this has kept you away. What happened kept you away from God and Christians and the church, because the truth is we all need God and Christians and the church. And I know something happened, but man, my guess is it had really nothing to do with Jesus. So today we're going to talk about being burned by the church. And I think there are different ways that people get burned by the church. One is, and this is kind of happens a lot, is when a church or someone at a church misuses power. Right, when they misuse power. And at the very idea of this, people start talking about how the church has misused power historically. And people will talk about the Inquisition or the Crusades or racism. And that's all true. Like there have been people who have done evil in the name of the church. I actually did a message on that back this spring that you could listen to on our website or on our app. But today we're not going to talk about evils that were done in history. Honestly, too often that's a facade that we hide behind because it's easy to criticize evils in history instead of dealing with the realities of the present. And today I want it to be about you. And maybe some of you have been the victims of the misuse of power in a church. The board forced you out, or a priest took your innocence. Or maybe a pastor manipulated, or a leader you trusted proved faithless, and you've left viewing the church as an authority that doesn't really care about people. And based on what happened to you, I don't blame you. I would probably feel the same way. Another way that some people have been burned by the church has to do with sin in your life. You went to church because you heard that it was a place of unconditional love and acceptance and grace. And you knew that you had made some mistakes and you needed help. But the church you found yourself at just made you feel judged. There was this attitude of, you know, you need to get your life cleaned up first before you walk through these doors. And you want to say, the reason I came here is because I can't clean up my life on my own. I came here for help. And you decide to leave. And I don't blame you. And it may not have even been sin. There are some churches and some Christians who they'll challenge people about something that they feel is wrong, but really it's not sin. And so maybe you were challenged on that you smoke, or the way you did your hair, or that you had a tattoo, and you decided, you know what, forget this. And I don't blame you. I don't. Another way that people feel burned by the church is irrelevance. You went to a church and it was just boring. You struggled to keep your eyes open. Or you went and it just didn't make any sense. You really tried to listen and understand what they were talking about, but like you couldn't understand it or see how it could possibly matter in your own life. Or you went to a church and they didn't offer hope. People come to church because they need hope, and we know that we all have issues and that there are problems in the world, and yes, we do need to talk about that sometimes, but really, what we need is hope, and God has given the church a message of hope to share, and the truth is some churches just don't share it. And so many people have gone to church longing for something that could help them, transform them. And all they really heard at that church was, this is true. What we believe here is true. And yeah, maybe it was true, but like they didn't tell you how to apply it to your life or how it could make a difference in your life. It would be the equivalent of going to the hospital because you're sick and the doctor explains what's biologically wrong with you but doesn't offer you any medicine. Thanks a lot. That helped a lot. What's the point? And why go back? Maybe you didn't, and I don't blame you. And the end result of all that is you walk away from the church. Some people walk away apathetic. Some people walk away angry. Some people will stay, but they'll just kind of disengage. Maybe they keep going because their wife forces them to, or their parents make them. Some people will still love Jesus because they're discerning enough to realize this really doesn't have to do with Jesus. It just feels like it does. So they'll still love Jesus, but as far as the church, no thanks. And they walk away. And if you've been burned by the church, I just want to thank you for being here today. I'm not sure why you came. Maybe there's like this sliver of hope you still have left that there could be a church that was different, or maybe you were just curious and somebody dragged you here today. I don't know why you're here, but thank you for coming. And if you've been burned by the church, And that sucks. And I am so sorry. And you know, the problem actually gets compounded because we tend to get the order backwards. And I'll explain what I mean. So typically what happens for a lot of people is that they're hurting, or maybe they start to feel this sense of emptiness. And so they start searching and they find themselves at a church. It might be that they like something about that church, or maybe a friend invited them, and they start going to this church, and they start to like the church. And so they kind of commit to this church and become a part of it. And then they start understanding the church's mission, what that church is trying to do in the community, how they're trying to do it, and they get on board with the church's mission. And then at that church, they learn about Jesus. And so they come to a place where they'll put their faith in Jesus and start a relationship with God through Jesus. And so the order was that they went to the church, and then they got on board with the church's mission, and then they kind of put their faith in Jesus. Here's the problem. If something goes wrong at that church, if somebody offends you or something happens that disillusions you, is that even a way, is that proper English, disillusions you? I'm not so sure about that. I'm the man. And so, if you didn't see the video, you're like, what is he talking about? And so what happens is, if something disillusions you, I'm just running with that. What happens is you walk away from the church, but what happens for most people is they tend to just like throw everything away. But because it's at the church that I got engaged with the mission of Jesus. It's at the church that I put my faith in Jesus. And so when you throw the church out, you just throw away everything. But what we see in the Bible, and I think it's the better way, I think it's what God intends, is that a person will start pursuing Jesus. Like trying to figure out, who is Jesus? How do I have a relationship with Jesus? What does faith in Jesus look like? And so they pursue Jesus. And then from Jesus, like in the Bible, they'll learn about his mission, like what he's passionate about, what breaks his heart in the world, and we need to try to solve and help. And then they find a church. And at that church, they'll get supported and loved and find accountability. And it's a place where they can be a part of the mission of Jesus. But if the church offends them, well, they still have Jesus, and they still have that mission that they've learned to engage in. Listen, no matter why you came here today, I'm glad that you came. And I want to encourage you, priority number one is Jesus. Priority number one is like knowing Jesus and pursuing Jesus and having a relationship with Jesus. That should be first. And maybe because of the experience you had at a church a while back, maybe it's kind of kept you from Jesus. And I want to tell you, no matter where you've been, no matter what's happened, like God loves you. And through Jesus, he's inviting you into a relationship. And he's inviting you to get involved in his mission of loving the world and serving the world. And he's inviting you to get connected in a church. And a church should be a place where you feel loved and connected and supported and held accountable. And you need that. Like, we all need that. You need to choose a church. Now, I am not an authority on other churches, okay? But I want to make some promises to you if you choose this church, okay? If you decide, all right, I guess I'll choose this one. I want to make some promises. First promise is that we will do our absolute best to keep Jesus and his mission at the very forefront of everything we do. First promise, we will keep Jesus and his mission at the very forefront of everything we do. You know, we say that we're church for people who don't like church. And most people who don't like church don't like it because at some point they felt burned by church. And if they don't like church, they probably stayed away from church. And maybe because of that, maybe you've never really gotten to know Jesus. Well, nothing is more important to us than helping you to know Jesus. Because we believe that knowing Jesus is actually like the point of life, and it's what sets you free in life. Now, maybe you went to a church sometime in the past and it had different priorities. Like, it seemed like it was all about getting your money, or it was all about politics and telling you who to vote for and what, you know, cause they wanted you to get behind. So Jesus once said that you should judge a plant by the fruit that that plant produces, right? Like you wouldn't like see a rotten apple on an apple tree and decide that all apple trees are bad. You'd be like, well, I don't want to eat that apple on that apple tree, right? And so here's what I would say. We are not your old church. Right? And so please don't judge us by your past experiences. Our priority is to help you know Jesus and his mission. And really, the mission of Jesus is to help you know Jesus. Jesus one time said, we put all the Bible verses on the screen here at Verve, and in case you don't have a Bible with you, if you don't own a Bible, we give them out for free at the Velcro bar. But Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 10, he said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Jesus would refer to himself as the Son of Man. And here he's saying, I have come to seek and save the lost. Now, when he says lost, the idea is of a person who has maybe wandered away from God, who's kind of gotten lost. They've lost their relationship, their connection with God. They've kind of wandered away from that. Or maybe even somehow they got snatched away from that. Some years ago, there was a story in the news, you probably heard it, about a boy named Sean Hornbeck. Sean Hornbeck in 2002 was 11 years old. One day, he went out into the cul-de-sac to ride his bike, and he vanished. It was believed that he was kidnapped. Well, after his disappearance, his parents quit their jobs, depleted all of their savings, and took out loans, went into debt to try to find their son. All that mattered to them, and we can understand this, especially if we're parents, all that mattered was getting their lost child back home to them. But days went by, weeks went by, 4 years go by. And finally, Sean Hornbeck's parents just give up hope. One day they received a phone call. It was the phone call that they had been dreaming of since the very day that Sean disappeared. Sean's parents were driving, and the cell phone rang. The voice on the other end identified himself as one of the local prosecutors, and he discovered that Sean's parents were driving. He said, "Would you please pull over?" They pull over. And then this voice says, "We think we found Sean. We're 95% sure." Sean's father later said, "Those were the sweetest words I had ever heard in my entire life." And soon, Sean, now 15 years old, was reunited with his parents. And at first sight of him coming out of a police car, his dad yelled, "That's my son!" And he went running over. Maybe you saw on the news the whole family in this group hug, jumping up and down together because they were back together. And the way that that father had felt about his son, not knowing if he'd ever see him again, not knowing if he'd ever hold his child again. That's the way God feels about all of his lost children. Like if you're disconnected from God, that's the way God feels about you. I think of what I consider to be the most powerful passage in like the entire Bible for me. In Jeremiah chapter 4, God is speaking and he says this. He says, "Oh, my anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the agony of my heart pounds within me. I cannot keep silent." And you read that and you're like, whoa, like what's up with God? Why is he talking like this? He says, "My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding." And then God offers an invitation to his foolish children. He says in verse 1, he says, "If you'll return, O Israel, return to me." Saying, if you've gotten lost, return to me. God loves all his children, and he wants all of his children home. Home. Right? And some of his children have wandered away. Some of his children maybe have been snatched away. And Jesus says that his mission is to seek and save the lost, right? To get them back into a relationship with their heavenly Father. And that is what's most important at Verve, because it's most important to God. You know, thinking about that story, I want you to imagine this. Let's say that when Sean's parents receive that initial phone call, they pull over, right? The voice says, I have good news. We think we found Sean. We're 95% sure. Let's just pretend that his next sentence was this. If he said, we found him because he got arrested shoplifting. It seems that Sean has been with a kidnapper and he has developed a habit. He's a shoplifter, okay? What do you think Sean's parents, separated from their kid for 4 years now, what do you think they would have said? Do you think it's possible that they might have said, oh, well, if Sean's a sinner, we don't want him back home now? No. Do you think maybe they would have said, you know what? You tell Sean that if he can straighten up his life and stop sinning, we'll take him back, but not until he cleans up his act first. Any chance? No. What would they have said? They would have said, we don't care if he's shoplifting. Why are you talking about shoplifting with us? We want to see our son. If that's our son, we want to hold our son again. Get him home. Like if you're concerned about the shoplifting thing, I think we can assure you that when he comes home and he experiences our care and our provision, he won't shoplift anymore. But if for some reason he has a problem with shoplifting, we'll help him. We'll deal with that later. But right now, we want our son home. Right? And that's what's so crazy about churches who get hung up on people's sin. Yes, they've got sin. We've all got sin, right? Yes, our lives would be better if we stopped. Yes, our lives would honor God more if we stopped. And yes, all of that matters. It does. But it doesn't matter as much as God getting God's children back home. That's what God says. That's what's most important. And that's what has to happen first. God loves all of his children and he wants them home. That's what matters most. What's interesting, though, is that many churches and many Christians act like it's not most important. Like, yeah, that's something we should do, but there's other things we can do. And if we do those other things, then it's okay if we don't do that thing. Let's imagine this. So let's say that you knew Sean Hornbeck's parents, okay? You happen to live in Wisconsin where they live. Missouri. It was Missouri. You live in Missouri where he lives. Wherever he lived, you live there. And you know his parents. And so you hear, you know, on the news that night, Sean Hornbeck has disappeared. It's believed he was kidnapped. You know his parents. So the next day, you show up at his house and you say to his parents, you say, hey, listen, you know how much I care about you and how much I'm with you. And so from now on, now that your son's going, I'm going to come and I'm going to sing songs to you. Like, I'm going to sing songs. I've written to you. I'm going to sing songs to you. Well, what might his parents have said? That's just weird. Like, you can, if you want to sing songs to me, you can, but we don't, can you help us get our son home? We have a child and we don't know if we'll ever see him or hold him again. Help us get our child home. We don't care about singing. Right? Or what if you said, hey, listen, so here's this deal. You know how much I like you. There's this whole group in our neighborhood who like you so much. We have this book, and it's kind of like your life story. And what we've decided is we're going to get together every week. We're going to do like a kind of a study together, and we're going to get out the book about your life story. We're going to underline words. We're going to memorize some sentences from it. We're going to discuss how it applies to our life and what we should do with your life story. What would they have said? We have a son that we need a home. Would you go look, do whatever you can to get our child home, right? Or what if you said, hey, I really like you. I mean, you mean so much to me. I've decided I'm going to show up every week and give you the first 10% of my paycheck. Every week, I'm going to write you a check for the first 10% of my income. I'm going to give it to you every week. What would they have said? I think they would have said, we will use that money to hire more detectives to try to find our son. That's good news. But we don't care about the money. We care about getting our son home. Is there anything else you can do? Is there more you can do? What can you do to help us get our son home? And listen, the most important thing that ever happens in this place is when one of God's lost children comes home. Right? God says that's what's most important. When one of God's lost children recognizes, and I am broken and I'm messed up, and I've realized I can't do life on my own. So I need Jesus to forgive my all my past, and I need him to help me as I try to move forward in life and live a better life. When someone has that moment and they put their faith in Jesus, that is the most important thing. And I want to promise you this about our church. Like, that will always be at the forefront of Verve, Jesus and his mission. The second promise I can make you if you choose this church is that Verve will let you down. Verve will let you down. When I say Verve, it may be a volunteer, it may be a leader, but it will probably be me. Okay? Like, I say stupid things. I'm very shy, which I know is hard to believe when you see me up here, but if you get to know me, you'll be like, he's really shy. And people often take that like I'm not interested in them. They're like, I was talking in the lobby, and then he just kind of disappeared. He just walked away from me. I don't know where he went. I'm really shy. I am. I have trouble remembering people's names, so I'll come up to you, and I'll be like, Steve! And you'll be like, it's Ishmael. And I'll be like, close enough, I tried! And you'll be offended, like I'm an idiot, and I will probably let you down and somebody at this church, somehow this church will let you down. It will. One of my favorite Christian author is named Philip Yancey. Philip Yancey had a friend who could not find a perfect church where he lived. So he moved to Australia and he started a church of his own. The last Philip Yancey heard, his church has 3 people. They can't let anyone else in because it would mess up their church. And if you want a perfect church, this ain't it. And you coming here to our church makes our church less perfect. You make it more messy. You know, come on, right? And so do I. I'm with you, right? And the truth is, there is no such thing as a perfect church. Now, I want you to hear this. I'm not saying that it's okay to let people down. Okay, I'm not saying it's okay to offend people and hurt people. We should do our absolute best not to do that. We do our best not to do that. But the reality is we will mess up. I promise, Verve will let you down. And I can say almost with assurance, you will let us down too. And so what if we just like have grace with each other? Right, that would work. Here's a third promise. We are going to try and be part of the solution. Now, there are groups that are just really easy to bash, right? And the church is really easy to bash and talk bad about because we all have a story. Like, I bet every one of us has some story about a church. We can be, oh, let me tell you about church, right? And tell our stories. But you know what? If you want to bash the church, you can do that. But I want to be part of the solution. And that's what we've always wanted to be at Verve. That's why we started our church 5.5 years ago. Like, we want to live the kind of lives of integrity that when people get to know us, it changes how they feel about Christians in the church. And we want to serve our community so that people out in Las Vegas will maybe get a little glimpse of who Jesus really is. That's why we did Love Vegas yesterday. We're going to put a few pictures up from yesterday. So we had people all over Las Vegas yesterday serving. A bunch of us painted at Dean Peterson Elementary, which is, it was the 270th ranked school out of the 270 schools in Clark County. It's now up to 266. And 100% of the kids there are on free or reduced lunches. It's a really rough neighborhood right on Crack Alley. And so we served there. We were out feeding homeless people through the Garden Angels ministry. We were out at Refuge for Women serving there. That's a ministry that helps girls who want to get out of the sex industry. And we did all of that because critiquing the church is easy. And we've decided, let's be part of the solution. And I promise you, if you come here, that's our attitude. The last thing I want to promise you is that your life will be changed. If you choose this church, your life will be changed if you let it. And some of us have been coming here for a while now, and our lives have been changed. And we've seen lives changed. Like, we have seen marriages healed. We've seen people become free of their addictions. We've seen unhealthy dating relationships broken off. We've seen families get out of debt. We've seen dozens of people go out on mission trips around the world, building houses for the homeless, all kinds of stuff. We've seen pimps and prostitutes leave all of that behind. We've seen people find purpose and joy. I love how the Bible talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new has Creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. It's saying when you put your faith in Jesus, you get a new life with God. Like, haven't you ever had that desire like to just start over? Like, I just wish I could start over. It's exactly the promise of God in the Bible. You get to start over. He gives you a new life. And that journey of that new life begins in baptism. When a person goes through this ceremony of being lowered in water, and that represents kind of like just putting the old life to death and then being raised out of the water. And it's this idea of I'm being raised out to a new life that I'm going to live with God and for God. And today we actually have like, I think, 5 or 6 people who are getting baptized after our second service. So it'll be about 1 o'clock, 12:50. And what they're doing, and then we've got another 4, 5, 6 tomorrow. And what they're doing is they're embracing God's grace. They're embracing God's forgiveness. And they're saying, man, in God, I get to start again. And if they let God like have their lives, which is what they're saying in baptism, their lives will be changed. They'll be changed. We see that happening here all the time. And if you join us on this journey, your life will be changed. By the way, all this is why we recently announced that we are adding a new service in February. There are a lot of people in every city, and maybe more in Las Vegas than your average city, who have been turned off by church. And that is horrible. And we want to be a church for those people. We want you to invite your friends who don't come to church to come here. And we want you to be able to invite all of your friends who don't go to church to come here. And so we want to have more options of service times that they could come, and we need more seats for them. I don't know if you were here last week, but in 2 of the 3 services, we basically ran out of seats. There was like a couple. It was crazy in here, 2 out of the 3 services. And so we've decided, man, we're going to add a 4th service. But we're not ready quite yet to add that 4th service, to do it, to be prepared to love on and minister to all the people who might come. Honestly, we need more volunteers, we need more money, and we need more people to fill all the seats that we're going to create when we start that service. And so what we need is, we need your help. So last Sunday night, we did this meeting, this Dirt on Dig It meeting. And if Verve is your church, and I realize some of you are like, I'm just here checking it out, I don't know if I'll be back. This isn't for you, but if Verve is your church and you are not at the Dig It meeting last Sunday night, I need you to watch the video that we emailed you this week. Like, if Verve is your church, you need to watch it so you're not, like, for the next month going, what is going on? Why? What's with that? And why are people have these shovels? And what's it all mean? Like, you really need to watch it. And you need to watch it because if we're going to do this, like, we need to all do it together. Like, we all need to pitch in and do this together. And you can learn all of what we're doing and what we're asking you to help us with through watching that video that we emailed to you. There's also a brochure and a commitment card that you can pick up at the Velcro bar today after the service, and that will give you a little bit more information. So the commitment card, you'll see, has a place in it where if you're not currently serving, where you can sign up to try volunteering in your choice of a role here at Verve. It also has a place where you can put the names of 2 friends of yours who don't go to church, but you would love to get here in February when we open up all these new seats. If you give us those 2 names, we're going to start praying along with you for your friends, that God will just open their hearts to your invitation and that they'll get here. And on that card, there's a spot where you can put how much money you're planning on giving between now and the end of March. Now, we have never done anything like that before. We've never asked you to write something like that down. Like, I have to believe if there was a contest, we are the least money focused, least pressure to give money church in the world. Like we've got to be way up there. And this isn't pressure either. We just need to make sure that we're going to have enough coming in that we can do what we need to do to add the new service. And so the amount that we get on those cards is going to help us to set the budget for launching this new service. So we really need everybody to fill it out so we can add it up and go, okay, this is how much we have to be able to put into this. And what we're doing is we're praying that a bunch of people who call Verve home will feel led to give maybe a little more than they typically do. In fact, we're praying that when we add up all those numbers, God's going to do this crazy miracle, and the number is going to be $50,000 more than we would typically receive between November and March. And because if it does, then we can start this service the way we're hoping we can. We can like do some marketing, let people know, put up some billboards and stuff like that. So you can take that card home with you. Pray, you don't fill it out today. Pray about it. And then you can bring it in next week. We're going to collect those, and the week after if you're not here next week. So if you do this, like if you decide, all right, like it's time for me. And so you're going to jump in, you're going to start volunteering, and you're going to start inviting your friends, and you're going to start giving maybe generously and consistently. It may not be easy, but it will be awesome. It will be awesome, and it will change your life.